Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Body and the Beast podcast. Coming straight into your ears for the next few hours are your awesome hosts, Dan Meredith and Jamie Alderton.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to another episode of The Body and the Beast. I am your body, Jamie Alderton.
And I am your beast, Dan Meredith. How are you, you handsome sausage?
I'm good, thank you. I mean, for those of you who obviously can't see a podcast whilst listening, I've had a bit of a change around in my setup, and the main focus of it is sometimes it's like anything, when you make a little change, it inspires you to do something different. And I was like, right, cool. If I change it around and have things like this, I'm going to be inspired to do more content, and I'll let you know when that kicks in.
Right. Do you know what? It's quite funny. So obviously, again, you can't see us. So if you watch this on a reel or something, that Jamie's cropped out for a little bit of content. My background is plain white. I've just ordered another bookshelf because I keep buying books, and my backdrop is going to be, I used to have like a little library. Well, it was fucking huge. It was an entire custom built massive library of all my books. But I'm going to have that as my new backdrop. But literally, so it's a very clean white background that I'm on. But behind me is like somebody has walked into a Waterstones and just gently popped a grenade and gone, lol. Literally behind there is literally, what have we got here? There is 9 books, 4 notepads, 3 pip decks, 2 boxes full of notes that I've just scribbled together. And there's like just a box of notes that I take when I'm walking around. A copy of my new book in rough format, 2 notepads that are literally my walk and talk ones, plus, just to be completely honest with you, the deluxe manscaping kit, because the sheer amount of hair that I just got to the point where I'm like, do you know what? Hair removal is quite a large part of my week. I put it this way, I don't have quite hairline as you, Jamie, but there's a lot that needs to
talking,
be removed.
Stop talking now. And the reason I'm being is that Manscaped, they pay a lot of money to podcasters to advertise their products. So stop talking. We're not getting paid for it. So, however, on the next Body and Beast episode, we might... just go, funny you should say that, Dan. This
episode is sponsored by Manscaped. Honestly, Jay, it's a fucking constant. And I'll tell you now. For some of you listeners that may be a little bit younger, you may not goblin mode there. What the fuck? Learn to speak, Daniel. Might not. Where did that fucking come from? A film called Big. Okay, do you remember the film called Big?
Of course I remember. Over the age of 35.
Okay. And I was actually taken out on a date on Saturday, and there happened to be a Zoltar machine. Now, if you haven't watched the film, this won't make sense, but I had a go on it, and it gives you a little wish. And basically, it grants a wish. And I thought, it was literally a blast from the past from my childhood. And I thought, that's cool. I'm going to get that. But I remember this. Now, obviously, puberty kicks in at different ages for all of us. You know, I think it kicked in normal-ish age for me. But I remember like some of the lads having like chest hair and kind of leg hair, you know, it starts to kick in and stuff. And I remember this. Now I sat there, I was actually sat on the toilet, and I looked down at my legs, and I was wearing, you know, and there was just like literally a few smatterings of hair at the bottom of my shin. And I remember saying, oh, do you know what? Please can I be hairy and manly? And of all the things I've asked for over the years, that's the one thing you decide to say, I got you, Dan. I got you. So although my hairline is not as strong as your, I ain't going bald, literally anywhere, it is a constant fucking battle.
John makes me laugh at this. And this is, by the way, ladies and gents, we're going to be going on.
This is not the topic of today.
This has got nothing to do at all. But I remember, like once again, from a child, that I was a bit of a late developer. So I used to get the mickey taken out of me by a lot of the guys at school because I was a bit of a late developer, you know, in puberty. And what's funny now is that all the ones that took the piss out of me are bald. And they would give, and it's like, don't you wish you were a late developer now, motherfucker? And it's kind of like, things that when you're younger, that you that either happened to you or you wish to be different normally come back to haunt you in some way if you're negative towards it. And, you know, for those of you who are younger, who probably don't listen to this podcast, time is a great revenge for a lot of people if you're patient.
And here's another thing that's also, I don't know if you noticed, you're kind of a cool kid though, Jake. You're a little scamp, so I don't know how popular you were. I was likable. I had lots of friends, but I wouldn't say I was popular, if that makes sense. It was kind of, you know, I was just kind of got on with people and I had lots of different groups of friends. But the popular kids, so the kids who are really popular, who were cool, who were really, really good at, you know, sport, kind of like the kind of jockey type characters, like, because they never really had to struggle for things like, you know, attention and achievements, because they were just gifted and there's nothing wrong with that. Okay. You know, when you look back, I looked at some of those friends now and I'm not in any way denigrating where they are in their life and stuff, but it's like they didn't have to go through really a major struggle period because everything was quite easy to them. They haven't really necessarily fulfilled the potential they could have done because they didn't have to work at it. I was a quiet, again, learning not to speak today, Daniel, twice in one fucking podcast. You know, I was a quiet, shy kid who was absolutely fucking ungifted at anything sort of sporty. And I was all right, clever-wise. I was fairly intelligent in that sort of side of things. But, you know, I was a little nerd. And then I went through my, like I say, you know, my quite an aggressive, chubby phase. I had braces on, you know, top and bottom teeth. You know, I was not what you'd call a catch in my teenage years. But again, forced me to kind of, you know, learn how to be, you know, likable and to, you know, not let those things hold me back. And honestly, toughened me up a little bit because, you know, you did get the piss taken out of you a little bit. And, you know, I wouldn't say I got bullied. I think I got a little bit of a pass because of my little sister. I think people were quite kind in that way. But I definitely got the piss ripped out of me for my hair and my braces and my, you know, inability to do even a press up, you know, in my teens and stuff. And look at me now, motherfuckers. Sorry, I'm being silly.
And, you know, it's not relevant to what we're talking about, but I think it's just important with regards to that. I mean, you know, like the person that you are, even today, like if you listen to this in your 30s or even in your 40s, the person that you are now could be a totally different person to the, you know, 10 years time. And, you know, it's always you can always change. It can always change. And not sometimes, and I always say this, is like you don't learn anything from a perfect day. You also don't get better if everything comes easy to you. So when you are looking at other people and think, oh, it comes so easy to them, two things always spring to mind. Either they got very lucky, or second, they're very good at doing my analogy of float like a duck and paddle like fuck. The reason it looks easy to them is because they work fucking hard to make it look that way. So if you delve a little bit deeper, you'll see that most people aren't an overnight success. It's taken them 10 years to become that overnight success. And that's that growth paradox for you.
And a little sort of side note to that as well. People who tend to be quite successful, obviously there's an element of risk. They're a bit more comfortable taking risks and trying new things. It's quite naturally, we want homeostasis. We want things to stay the same. You know, we crave things that, you know, we want it to stay. But the only constant in life is, outside of, you know, death, is change. Things are going to change regardless of whether you want them to or not. And is being able to handle and manage stress. Stress, the right type of stress, and there's also bad stress as well, but be able to handle stress and deal with things and keep going and be able to mitigate your stress and also lean into it. I mean, Jamie, I remember you showing me one of your videos and it was like, you know, the amount of people. And look, I've known Jay a fucking long time. He's got he's got a ridiculous fucking physique now, but obviously in your competitive days, you know, you won world championships and pro cards and all manner of stuff. Jamie's never touched anything performance enhancing at all. You know, you've never, but literally, he's like, the normal nice comments are like, on the gear, roids, whatever. Just constant fucking shit. And I think because you had that from quite a relatively early age online, you just got that shit on, it was on YouTube, wasn't it? The video you showed me. You're just like, if somebody gives you shit now, you're like, whatever.
But here's the thing, like, I don't blame them because the amount of shit that is online, that is bullshit. It's very hard to filter out fact from fiction. It really, really is. And, you know, unfortunately, this is a problem with the internet because no one's got the time to do the research to find out if that person is true or not. So, you know, we take things at face value. And unfortunately, you know, that face value is pretty much
what
if most people at my age had a physique like this, chances are high possibility that they have been taking gear to get it because they haven't been lifting, you know, like I at 13 years of age, my teachers made me go to the gym, go to the gym to stop getting, you know, to reduce my risk of getting expelled from school. So all I did literally at school at lunchtime was train. And, you know, I'm 39 this year. So I say this all the time, if you can't build my physique with that level of knowledge, you know, like 25 years of knowledge, competing at a high level, understanding nutrition the way that I do, you know, like there's no hope for you. Add to that, you know, gifted genetics as well. You know, life's not fair. And I say this to people all the time. But also, that's why I don't get angry with it. I'm just like, yeah, it's just fucking some people are just lucky. You know, they just are. I mean, the 25 years of working hard towards it certainly helped as well. But, you know, I totally get you. And I ain't got fucking time to argue. It's like fucking arguing at a wall. You're not going to suddenly get somebody on the internet go, do you know what? I have taken on your views and your opinions.
And I'm going to change everything. You're correct. User X7-1903! Fuck off.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, life's too short to argue with strangers on the internet at the end of the day. Mm. So it's like, if you know, and I think this was a quote that was, I think, attributed is the word to Keanu Reeves. And he said, I'm at a point in my life where I say 1 + 1 = 2 and someone says 3. My answer is, do you know what? You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Carry and on that with is your it. Day.
That is cool. 3. Yeah, you're right, mate. I'm wrong. I'm just going to get on my day.
Well, so, this Dan, is a new record. 12 minutes in. 12 minutes in.
We have put the world to right, ladies and gents. And today we are talking about, Dan, what are we talking about?
I thought you were saying it. The methodology of the middle. So this is something that me and Jay were talking about. And when we come up with our podcast titles and the plan for what we're going to do, we often kind of talk through things we're currently doing, conversations we've had in the week. We like to stay quite relevant, which is why we keep our recording schedule, not, you know, either like a week or two in advance top. So it's quite on topic and what we're speaking about right now. But what we mean by the methodology of the middle is that, you know, for example, I'll give you an example from my sort of entrepreneurial business coaching type world. You often see two real ends of the spectrum. So you've got the hustle bros, which is work, grind, you know, 12, 15 hours a day, every day. Don't fucking see your kids, you know, send your wife off around the world for a year. Monk mode. It's like, oh, fuck off. Okay. And there is a time and a place for extreme working efforts. I'm not taking away from that. But then you've got the other side. And this one really makes my shit itch because it's often from people who are generally quite successful. And they will talk about peace and flow and ease and, hey, everything's just lovely and it doesn't need hard work. You should just let the light guide you and the universe. Yeah, do you know what? You're saying that now because I've known you for 10 fucking years and I knew you posting like a slag constantly on 8 different social media platforms at a time, working 12, 15 hours a day because I couldn't get a fucking call in with you. So shut up. So what we mean is there is a case for both, okay? But realistically, somewhere in the middle, hence the methodology of the middle, is where the answer lies to getting what you want from business, from life, health, relationships, the works.
And I think this is so important because no one wants to hear, people always hear this, how do you balance things? And it's like, the balance isn't a case of having something perfectly in the middle. It's knowing which end of the spectrum that you're on and the action plan to move a bit further the opposite way. So for example, if you are one of those hustle bros that's killing themselves and burning out, to get back to the middle, you need to do less of that and probably start focusing on more meditation and flow, just to kind of, you know, turn that notch down from burning out. At the same time, if you're spending all your fucking days meditating and getting in the flow, and you're wondering why you've got no customers, no business or nothing, it's probably because you're not fucking hustling and you need to kind of put the little tempo down on the old meditation and breath work and kind of put the tempo up on fucking getting on your laptop and getting to fucking work.
Well, great case in point. Now, I know I tease you about getting up early and stuff, but I know why you do it. And obviously, you know, you're a really good family man and, you know, you get all those things, you get all the stuff that makes you done pretty much before your kids are up. So you can then spend time with them, spend time with your wife, be present. You know, it's, I get it. And and obviously as well, I think that military background helps because you're kind of used to doing things early at time. And again, I see people, and I fucking love people who have, you know, served and supported a country, whether or not you agree with why they did it. I think it is something that I personally have, you know, anyone who has served, I've got a lot of respect and time for. But, you know, you look at someone like, you know, Jocko, for example, very motivational, very inspirational guy, done some amazing shit. But I can't remember what time he went into the military, but from a very young age, he has been told what to do. He's built this routine of getting up very early, working very hard, doing shit. Okay, so it's ingrained in him. Okay, and you sometimes see that, again, they don't do that, and I know you have your own version of morning routines, but you'll see people talk about these morning routines and it'll be like, again, not teasing you because I know the value of it, it's like, you know, I'm gonna wake up, then I'm gonna journal, gonna meditate for half an hour, then I'm gonna have an ice bath, then I'm gonna do my gratitude fuck me, 3 fucking hours later you're starting work. I think a lot of people's normal morning routine is wake up, take a shit, okay, go get a coffee, look at your to-do list, start work. That's it, okay? And yes, having a little bit of a morning and an evening routine, and, you know, if you have the time, does help. But sometimes if you are spending all your time doing all of this mindful activity type of exercise, you could have just worked for another couple of hours.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I've got a solid morning routine. People know mine's 4:30 and I've been doing a vlog this year, and it's cold plunge, stretching, jiu-jitsu, gym, and back here before 8:30. That's the focus. But is that a productive morning routine? I would argue that only maybe 50%, 60% of that's maybe productive. And I'll tell you why. Ice bath, great. Honestly wakes me up, fires me up. Stretching session, great. I'm getting old, I need to stretch. Jiu-jitsu session, probably the least productive thing you can do in the morning, because the rest of the day, my neck hurts, my back hurts, and my arms hurt from getting like bent left, right, and center. So that probably, you know, doesn't get me in the focus mode for work. And of course, the gym. Yeah. You know, I normally go straight to the gym because after jiu-jitsu, I haven't got the time to get gym workouts
there and back, yeah,
somewhere the rest of the day. So actually, you know, pretty much it's more convenience and half productivity than actually this is the best morning routine to set yourself up for the day. It's more like, this is the only time I can do if I want to see my kids, see my wife in the evening, and get everything that I need to get done work-wise done. And, you know, like, everyone is different for that. So, yeah, and a lot of people do have, and I used to have a longer morning routine, and my response was that's because I chose to have that morning routine. And obviously that's gone down a lot still a decent couple of hour plus morning routine, but it's less productive because of jiu-jitsu. Before, it used to be a lot more.
But I would add into that, so just as you say less productive, I know, because obviously me and Jay speak outside of the podcast, obviously, I know how much you fucking love jiu-jitsu. And I know your goals around it and the time scales you want to achieve certain things and the level of mastery you want. I'd actually say, is it productive from a, you know, could my body feel a little bit better and have a bit more energy? You're right, probably no. But does it make you happy? Does it something that makes you feel like you've achieved something? You know, again, you know, I know when you've been told me some of the moves you've learned, when you learn a new move or you get a new hold on someone or you get someone to tap out, it makes you fucking feel good. And I watched a reel the other day, and we're not going to be focusing all about gym stuff. Some of you here aren't into fitness. That's fine. That's your choice. But I do, you know, I think both of us would recommend moving your body and doing something is going to be good for your business and your life, full stop, as well as your body. But it was talking about why going to the gym or having something, you know, where you can like get graded or belted or, you know, run a different time or something, is the gym is really good because you can have like lots of little wins throughout the week. You might get a couple more reps on an exercise. You might get a new PB on something, or you might be able to, you know, do an extra sprint or run for another few more minutes or something like that. I don't know what it is, but going to the gym and having some physical stuff you do gives you these like little wins. And it always feels good. You know, even, you know, the other day, I wasn't feeling particularly good. You know, we've said this before, we've chatted about it before. And I thought every part of me was like, right, everything's a little bit achy. Nothing was bad. It was just, everything was a bit like, oh, I'm tired. You know, I had to cram in a few extra sessions because of my diary that week. It was a bit busy. And I went down. I thought, fuck it. Do you know what? There's 9 exercises I have to do, but the first 3 are the most important ones. And I thought, even if I just match what I did before, or even if I have to drop it down a little bit and just, you know, work on the technique, I ended up getting a PB on one of the lifts. So I wasn't even expecting it. And I remember going home buzzing from it. Okay. So I didn't, so again, it was in the middle in that instance. I didn't do the full thing. I did 3 or 4 exercises as opposed to the, I think, 9 that were planned, with the last one being optional anyway. But I did half the workout. Had a really fucking good workout, felt good, moved things forward. And again, that middle ground, it's not sexy. It's really fucking hard to sell. I'd say with my marketing business hat on, you know, saying something in the middle is really fucking difficult because you can't really talk about pain points or, you know, really aggressive goals and certain things. But often it is that bit in the middle that you can do consistently. So consistently to be able to do something is the thing that's going to change your life and is going to give you, so not you right now, but you in the future, a really fucking good experience, some really good results.
Yeah, 100%. There's a couple of points there I want to talk about. I'm running a 5-day challenge at the moment, and one of yesterday's challenge was 300 reps of anything that you want to do body weight wise. You can do push-ups, you can do air squats, you can do skipping, you can do dips, you can do whatever you like. Yeah, whatever. As long as you get 300 of those reps in. Okay, a bit hard to show that on camera, to be honest, as evidence.
But, oh, you know. Yes, don't do that.
Yeah, maybe not. Facebook might not like that. But one of the things, and I do, I have about 700 check-ins in the evening, and they're all videos. It's a lot. It takes me a good couple of hours, but I genuinely enjoy listening to people's feedback. And yesterday's main feedback on the 300 reps was, I looked at that this morning thinking that's impossible. There's no way that I could do 300 reps. And actually, it was difficult to some people. And also, people realized how much a good of a workout they got when they had a deadline to get something done. And some of them were literally like nipping to the toilet to do dips off the toilet and, you know, just doing lots of ways throughout the day to try and get these 300 in. And they said, look, what this has taught me is that a lot of people are in this mindset that if they can't get to the gym, then they don't go at all. Mm-hmm. And it's this kind of middle ground. It's like, cool. The one end of the spectrum is, gym, hour and a half working out. But the other end of the spectrum is not working out at all. But now I've given them this middle option. Whereas, you know, if you can't get to the gym, it's not don't go to the gym, it's do something. And actually this can be the something. And once again, it's this middle ground. But when you're in this kind of black and white thinking of going, it's either the gym or it's nothing, this is why people don't see progress, because they don't necessarily have a middle ground or a plan B for that. And I think it's so, so important. And I think you've spoken about this before with regards to morning routines. If people can't get their entire 2-hour morning routine in, it's like, cool, have a middle ground one where you're going, right, okay, I can't do this hour. What in that hour do I normally do which gets me the best return on that time? And it could be just some breath work. It could be just some journaling. It could be taking that 1 hour down to the 5 minutes. And that's the middle ground. It's like, cool. It's not don't do it whatsoever. It's like, what can I do as a middle ground in order to do that? My second thing that was interesting was talking about extremes. And I think two of the biggest arguments on social media are nutrition, and because everyone has their own way of doing stuff, and alcohol. Okay, alcohol is such a touchy subject for people. And I came across a one of our mutual friends, Rory, who runs one year no beer. I need to text him because I need to tell him that I'm doing 1 year no beer, but I'm only drinking whiskey and wine. doesn't really go to his. But he's having an interview with Rich Roll on a podcast to say that alcohol serves no purpose whatsoever, both physiologically and physically. And I, of course, completely disagree with that. But from his stance of extreme, he's on one end of the spectrum, putting out a message to people that need to hear that. Because one of the biggest things that I say to people all the time is, like, life isn't always about balance. Life is only about balance if you can balance. And if you can't reduce, if you can't reduce something down, you need to remove it completely. So when it comes to alcohol, I would say 90% of people can't balance it. 90%.
I'm going to throw my hat in the ring on that one. You know, I went through phases of being able to moderate. You know, I've had lots of years of being able to moderate and have a few drinks and have fun. But for me, you know, unfortunately, you know, alcohol became my stress relief. So, and honestly, with my brain being very, very busy, it was a case of, right, brain, you won't shut up. I'll fucking shut you up then. I'll just knock you the fuck out with Grey Goose. And that's what I did for many years. And I tried balance and I tried moderation and I was able to do it for periods of time. But then there would be a time when I couldn't and I went and drank too much. So I am sober. I am, you know, I haven't had a drink for over 6.5 years now. For me, I needed extreme. So I needed it. And it's, and I will say, it's actually easier in this case to be so no alcohol rather than some. It's actually easier to do. So I do not drink. And then everyone knows I don't drink. But equally, for me now, like literally to the left of where I'm sitting, so I'm in my apartment, and I've got bottles of wine, I've got a bottle of vodka, I've got cans of little drinks and stuff for guests and friends and stuff. I have no desire. There's literally nothing. Like, I can make you a cocktail, I can sit with you having a drink, you know. If my partner has had a glass of wine, I kiss him, I'm like, oh God, I need to get some wine. And I remember even a friend cooking for me once, and they put, and they actually, it was very sweet of them, and they said, you know, it was involved putting a glass of wine in the dish, and they're like, oh, are you okay with that? It's like, yeah, I'm probably not going to get fucked up off your chicken. It's not going to set me off, you're good. But I appreciate you asking, you know what I mean? But it is that middle ground. Like, for, you know, think for yourself with drinking. It's fun. It is fun. It feels good. It can really help with social situations. It's a good way to bond with others. It's quite a common thing, especially in British culture. You know, pub culture, drinking culture is a big part of our world. So yeah, I mean, I understand both sides.
Yeah. And but this is the key to it, of understanding both sides without having an extreme opinion, but also understanding that the to certain individuals, an extreme opinion matters. Another one at the moment when we talk about nutrition, which I find quite funny at the moment, you have kind of the evidence-based practitioners who, you know, use a lot of, you know, logic and science. Common sense for
studies.
Science.
Studies. Lots of studies.
And on the other, and then you have the kind of the Eddie Abus of the world, of who are just like, you drink, you know, sugar-free cans of Monster and you're...
Jamie currently sipping a can of Monster on the live video, just for reference at that point.
Absolutely horrible human being. And both, what ends up happening is when you look at both ends of the spectrum, is if you followed both of them to the letter, you're going to get incredible results. Full stop. Okay. But it kind of go somewhere in the middle between the two. You don't need to go to the extremes of cancelling anything, you know, process or that out of your diet. You just need to be a little bit more aware of what you're eating. At the same time, once again, like, you, if you were so caught up in the evidence and having to look at a study for a certain thing that you're consuming, you're over intellectualizing food, which, as you know, and it used to be, is a very kind of very cultural family get together thing, you know, like a Sunday roast, or you know, I spent a lot of time in the Middle East, so food is very much, you gather around, you know, you got all, like, I love going to Turkey they got all the breads and everyone's talking, grabbing food, not going, hang on a minute, I'm just going to get my calorie calculator out and go, get way out kind of thing. It's always somewhere in the middle. But then you have one extreme arguing with the other and going, you're a fucking idiot, you're a fucking idiot. And it's just like, yeah, well, we're all fucking idiots. It's
we're all somewhere. Fucking idiots. Yeah. Choose your idiot.
In the middle. Yeah. And here's the thing. Some people do need to have a more evidence-based, you know, research-based approach, especially some extreme diets that, you know, are probably hindering people rather than helping. And then some people just need to stop fucking around with their diet, just eat some more clean food, mm-hmm. and maybe stop drinking so many cans of Monster and protein bars and convenience-based food. And they're wondering why they're, you know, they feel like shit. It's because that's all they're eating. You know, they're,
it's the
they're
same
replacing.
In business, mate. It's exactly the same. Like if you are, you know, I've worked with people and I will say in business, you know, there's a lot of commonalities between business and fitness and, you know, achieving the results you want. And I will say whatever you want to achieve often takes probably longer than you think. And if anyone is promising a methodology or a system which is very, very quick results, I will say you can get some really quick results on things with extreme effort. You can do that. That is possible in all areas of life. But extreme effort is not sustainable. So I'm a fan, you know, I talk about it, we'll call it blast and cruise. And effectively is periods of really intense, aggressive effort followed by often, I'd say 90 days of intense effort, 90 days of sort of maintenance and rest. Now I tend to do like a month of intense effort, like really fucking hardcore. And then because I just become a bit older and I've got more responsibilities now, and then like double the amount of time of like rest and maintenance. So it's like really, really, really work really, really hard. So I can, you know, for my psychology, I can see some results. I can see some traction. Things are moving. I'm feeling good. And then I'm like, right, well, I can't sustain that forever. So I'm going to go batshit crazy for a month. And then I'm going to go down to something which is more sustainable, more maintainable. And then I'll do it again in a couple of months' time. But that's what works for me, my body, my mindset, my physiology, my lifestyle. You know, you listener, you have to kind of come up with what works for you. And, you know, much like we're saying, you know, about the peace and flow stuff, if, you know, your business isn't where it needs to be. And I've had this conversation with myself multiple times over the last 12, 13, 14 years, however long I've been fully self-employed and having my own business entities, is, are you working hard or are you being a lazy little fuck? And I will literally be that direct with myself. And sometimes, and I'm not being shitty, sometimes you are just being a lazy shit. You think you're working hard or you're doing busy for work, you're doing things that make you feel like you're doing work, but you're often not doing the hard work or putting in the effort you need to do to get the results you want. And then you're whinging. And if you are working incredibly fucking hard, then you need to think, right, I'm working really, really fucking hard here. Am I working smart? Am I working on the right things? Am I working too hard? For example, am I putting too much effort in and I'm becoming grumpy, miserable? I'm arguing with my partner. You know, I feel like shit. My sleep is fucking wank. I look like shit, whatever. Okay. And it is that taking time to reflect and think to yourself, you know, there are 100% cases where you need to go extreme. If your back is against the wall, if you've got a golden opportunity, if you've been at a steady level for a long period of time and you haven't really made big changes or big growth, then yeah, a concise, structured, deadline planned period of really intense focus and you put the other parts of your life on maintenance is incredibly useful. But the reason I say it's deadlined is because I know, right, if I'm going to do 4 weeks of batshit work, there is an end in sight. So I've got that. I've just got four. I can see 4 weeks. Okay. I can do that. It might be 6 weeks. You know, I know you've got a lot of people who are into fitness. You listen, you know, 12, 16, 20, 24 week preps for competition. You know the date you've got to be in the best shape of your life. So you've got a deadline. So it might absolutely suck balls for that period of time, but there's an end in sight. And if you really want it, you'll do it. But equally, other side of things, if you're not where you want to be, then just think to yourself, am I actually really giving it my all? And you know what? Do I actually want this? That's a question sometimes you need to think. I've had people who want to build, you know, I've got a client that's doing, you know, 5 million plus a year right now. And I met them when they were doing 20-ish grand a month and helped them sort of nearly triple that. And then they went off to do their own thing. And then they come back and they're like, look at me now. I'm like, fucking hell. Well done. And I'm helping them get to, and they wanted to get to, you know, the eight figure mark. So they want to go sort of 10 million plus. And bear in mind, this business is highly profitable. They're probably working about 30 hours a week hardcore on. So, you know, it's not killing themselves. They've got a nice balance. They get to the gym, good relationship, you know, good life, that sort of thing. And, you know, we talked through what it would need to get there. And we mapped it all out. So we reversed engineered what that looked like. But the question I said to him as a start was, why? Why do you want that? Because you currently got more money than you can spend. You have a humongous, beautiful home, beautiful cars, lots of toys, watches, nice things. You know, you live a fucking great life. What more do you want? And then we sort of rationalized that. And he said, well, look, this is why I want this business, because I want this valuation, because I want this amount of, I want to be able to sell my company in X amount of years in the future, potentially, which, you know, being well will give me this amount of lump sum. And then I want to move on to this type of, I want to go into this type of business. I can't really say it's private. And I was like, and I need that amount of money to be able to do that. And I was like, okay, now it makes sense. So he has a genuine reason of why he do it. So I said, right, are you prepared for, you know, 2 to 3 years of sacrifice? You're going to be working a lot more hours. There's going to be a lot less fun, a lot more stress. And he's ready for it. So we're off to the races. But that is a decision he's consciously made, and I'm helping him to get there. But he really fucking wants it. You know, he's very future focused. He's not short termist. He knows what his long term goal is. So understanding that if you do want extreme results, if you do want to be incredibly shredded, incredibly wealthy, incredibly successful, bear in mind your version of success and mine always going to be different. That those people that have achieved that, yes, there's luck and obviously timing and happenstance and stuff, but often involves a lot of fucking hard work. And are you prepared to make that sacrifice? If the answer is yes, go for it. I did. I remember my mentor saying to me, God, 10 years ago, he said, would you sacrifice the next 5 years of your life to have the business that could provide you, you know, whatever you want forever? And I said, yes. And I'm just about to go into another phase of that, because now I'm looking at, you know, my future, my sister's future, my own family all being well in the future. And I'm like, do you know what? Do I want to be working absolutely batshit long hours when my kids are around? You know, if I have the opportunity to, not, I still want to be able to spend time with, you know, my partner and my family and, you know, my sister, and still enjoy life as well. But you know what? I got to fucking do it now then. So I am fully prepared. Like, I literally have to the left of the screen, there's a document I can see on my screen, which is just called The Project. And it is my entire year mapped out. And it's a lot of fucking work. It's a lot of work. And I'm fully aware of what that means. You know, certain things are going to have to get put on the back burner. Certain things are going to have to put on maintenance. And I'm just going to have to get up a little bit earlier, go to bed a little bit later. And that's going to be the next couple of years of my life. And that's cool. I'm fully prepared for it.
Yeah, and I think it's important. It's, you know, something that's a little bit different to that. And it was just a conversation I was having with a very successful friend of mine yesterday. And, you know, as we said about finding the balance, finding the middle, and people needing different pieces of advice at different parts of their journey. Now, this is a rare kind of person that literally achieves everything that they set out to do. And once again, they're in a very successful position where, you know, they're trying to change things. And one of the things I said, and one thing I always say to somebody in that position, is sometimes you need to go to extremes and tick all the boxes and do all those things to find out if that was actually the thing that you wanted.
Oh, mate, because actually, that is perfect.
And here's the thing, like, until you actually achieve that thing, you don't actually know how you're going to feel. You can imagine how you're going to feel. Mm-hmm. And you'll have so many people tell you, go, well, you know, what if you do all of that and you don't feel like the way that you want? And it's like, well, that's the whole risk in this thing, because actually you look at that as a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. But if you get to, say, 40 or 50 years of age and you work really hard on this thing and you achieved the things that you set out to do and it wasn't what you wanted, two things happen. One, you achieved that thing and found mm-hmm. that it wasn't what you wanted, so you can probably regulate back down to the middle again. And two, you've still got 30 years left on the planet to figure out what the next step in that journey is. So go for it. And yep. Of course, that advice is going to be to a select few people, because that might be terrible advice to somebody who isn't used to achieving things and experimenting with things and actually putting, saying they're going to do something and actually do it. That could be the worst advice ever. And of course, this is the problem with the internet. This is the problem with listening to podcasts and taking advice from people, because it has to have context in it and it has to depend on the individual. And that's why, of course, I said this could be the best advice for you or the worst, because it's targeted at a certain individual.
Mate, you just reminded me, and I remember this. I remember you saying about, you know, I advise everyone to go after every single fucking goal, like you said, that you think will make you happy, that will think will change your life. Give it your fucking all. If it's something that's a burning, and see how you feel when you get there. Okay. And I remember this, and it's going back a few years. So, and I remember it precisely, because I remember exactly the time. It was 9:45, New Year's Eve, December 2015. Okay. And at that point, because that's when the payment landed, that's when I hit my first, so literally cutting it fine, six-figure month. So that was, it's only, you know, me and a couple of people then. So it's a, you know, it was a lot of hard work. And I was working a lot of fucking hours. And I remember my partner at the time, it was New Year's Eve, we were supposed to be going out, and I was working up until 9:45. Because I wanted to get this thing in. And I remember I hit it, and I remember feeling really fucking, you know, I've done it, but then I also had a quite, you know, and rightly so, you know, slightly miffed partner who'd been waiting, you know, 2 hours to go out whilst I, you know, did the call and did all the presentation and all that kind of stuff. And I remember sort of the next day waking up, I'd had a few drinks, I was drinking back then and stuff, and just remember just kind of like just thinking, I was like, I'm still me, still feel the same. Nothing's changed, nothing different, and stuff like that. And if you're listening, you think, well, fuck you, you know, you got all that money and stuff, like you're completely right to feel like that. But I'd based all my happiness and my validity and worth on achieving certain financial milestones. And then I realized that, you know what, I managed to maintain that for, you know, a while, but I realized, you know what, this is not what I wanted it to be. And I ended up scaling it back, rebuilding everything, and then rebuilding it back up again based around what I, after having achieved certain milestones, actually wanted to do. And I've done that multiple times. I'm at the end of that cycle now. I recently phased down a couple of business areas that I've worked on, because there's two or three areas that I'm both not only passionate about but are really proving to be very productive and useful for the people I'm serving, and also very profitable as well in the coaching space. So I scaled back so I could have the time to create the thing based around what I actually want my life to look like. And now I'm scaling up that area. So again, it is that in the middle, you know, I had to achieve certain things to know what I'd feel like, to see what it was like, see how I was feeling, and figure out, is that actually what I fucking want? Some of the things, yeah, they are. You know, I've said this before, and you, for those of you who don't have any such interest or such thing, you know, I've struggled with my weight on and off for a majority of my life, okay? I now have what I call a really fucking good bathroom six pack, okay? So I'm not Jamie's level of buffness, but I look really good. I fit 34-inch jeans. I can get clothes off the peg from, you know, decent quality clothing shops. I feel fucking good. So was all that batshit sacrifice to get the weight off, to build the routines, to literally change everything, was it worth it for me? Yeah, 100%. I feel fucking great all the time. I look in the mirror and I'm actually feel really happy with what I see. And also my body performs better. I can do things I couldn't do before. And considering I've got two metal joints, it was, you know, I'm really pleased of where I am. So in that instance, it was worth it. But there's other times where I've gone all in, got the goal and thought, fuck that. That was just not worth those sacrifices. You know, relationships have ended. You know, my health has suffered physically, mentally, relationships, you know, with my family, not bad, but, you know, I hadn't seen them for a long time. I thought, you know what? That's just not worth it. So again, it is that you have to kind of choose your own level of hard, go for it, go for those goals, and then see if you want to keep it or not. It's up to you. And like we said at the start, there is that the methodology is in the middle, and it's up to you to find your version of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's always lessons learnt, which equates to wisdom. And those lessons are either going to be good lessons or bad lessons, but usually they come from the bad lessons. And you would have never got that wisdom or experience had you not fucked it up, basically. And of course, something that Mark Manson said about you know, sometimes when you're going towards goals, he has this analogy of a rocket. And obviously a rocket burns tens of thousands of liters of fuel to get into orbit. But once it gets into orbit, it doesn't need any fuel because, of course, it's now in orbit. And if you look at your goals like that, as in you're going to have to burn a lot of fuel and effort and energy to get into that orbit. But once you're there, it's a lot easier. You look at a lot of startup founders, you know, that talk about sleeping under their desks and everything else, with the exception of Elon Musk, who probably still does that. You know, a lot of these tech founders who do the exits, the hundreds of millions, and they live a life of the meditation and breath work now. But that was thanks to 120-hour working weeks for years on end. So sometimes you do need to burn that fuel, depending on where it is that you want to go. One of the quotes that I want to kind of sort of finish off before passing over to you, Dan, is it's a Stoic quote from Aristotle. And the reason that I love these quotes is because it's stood the test of time. You know, this quote was obviously... it's come from over 2,000 years ago. And if something is as relevant today as it is back then, you know it's good advice. And it was Aristotle talking about what he calls the golden mean, but I was thinking with you, the golden meme. But this is actually the golden mean, M-E-A-N. And he says, moral behavior is the mean between two extremes. At one end is excess and at the other, deficiency. Find a moderate position between those two extremes and you will be acting morally. And he goes on to say stuff such as, you know, courageousness is on the same line as stupidity. And the reason being is that, you know, if courageousness is all about facing your fears despite the risk, and then what happens with that, let's just say, for example, you were courageous enough to run up to a car, pull the door open and rescue that individual. You're courageous. But if you do that and then because you did that, you ended up dying in the flames, that was kind of fucking stupid. So there is a level which you're on. And a lot of people, the reason that they argue about this middle is that they don't understand that both extremes are on the same line. So they're both, you know, this, I don't want to go too deep on this, but there's a book about Hermetic philosophy. It's called the Kybalion. It's about 125 years old. And
mate, I have that in the bookshelf. I've got that there.
Yes. And it's got a list of different principles about the world. And one of the principles, of course, is number four, which is the principle of polarity. And the basics of that, it says, is everything is dual. Everything has poles. Everything has its pair of opposites. Like and unlike are the same. Opposites are identical in nature, but different in degree. Extremes may all truths are but half truths. All paradoxes may be reconciled. So it just talks about, you know, extremes are on the same line. And the whole point of this middle ground is knowing which end of the pole you're at to then get that advice. And as we said, you know, if you are deficient in something, you need to be less deficient. So you need to be more focused on doing the work. And if you are, you know, in excess of something and you're on that side of the pole, your advice is to do less of it.
And like, but they're on the same pole. I think that's a beautiful end to this. But what I that was brilliant, Jay. That was lovely. I think that's a lovely kind of like high note. And I'm not going to shit on it by being silly or smutty at the end because it was really good. It's just something that I struggled with. I was very black and white. It's either this or that, on or off, do or don't. Okay. Again, success, happiness, growth, a lot of the good shit is in the gray. And it's honestly, it's just shades of gray. Okay. Sometimes you need to slide it all the way to black. Sometimes you need to slide it all the way down to white. But realistically, shades of grey is where the good shit happens.
Love it, Dan. I remember doing a blog post called 50 Shades of Jay once, and it was 50 middle ground thoughts. But I have to dig
mate,
that out.
I am sure there are plenty of both women and men who have you as the main character in their version of that as well.
And on that note, ladies and gents,
it's so good. You, I was so, if you hadn't have said that, I wouldn't have done that. But listen, look, ladies, gentlemen, and, you know, pronouns of choice who are listening, I've shared a room with this man. You know, we've hung out, we've sparred together. My bread ain't buttered that way, but fucking hell. If I had to, you know what I mean? Beautiful bitch. Sorry.
You were doing so well, then.
I was. I know. Right, I'll stop talking.
Ladies and gents, I really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Body and the Beast podcast. Remember, find your middle ground. It's normally between the two extremes. So if you're wondering if it's this advice or this advice, chances are it's both. And until you go down that route and experiment and figure it out, you'll never know. But ladies and gents, I have been your body, Jamie Milton.
And I have been your beast, Dan Meredith. Take care.